Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry.
Everybody, good morning, good evening, whenever you happen to be joining me. If you're on the East Coast, you're about 3 hours now ahead of me, so you probably have already finished with your morning worship service and you're headed to the lunch counter. And if you're in my time zone, you're just probably getting out of bed. But so glad that you're with me today. My name is Dr. Eric Stansberry, and I am excited to be with you today to be teaching God's Word to you and knowing that you're going to hear what God has to say to you today. One of the things we're going to be doing today is going to be Psalm chapter 77. It's kind of way out of where we've been. Because what I want to do is to look at how God is faithful to a disobedient and rebellious generation, and how what we've done in the Christian world has taken the true gospel away from the generation that we're seeing now, so that we're beginning to see and get the fruit of a generation that's forgotten God. So we're going to get into all that in just a few moments. So I do want to continue to pray for the Remnant Revival, Sloan Lake. Is in the midst of this revival in North Carolina. I like to invite Shane Calhoun and Isaac Walker and family worship in Cleveland, Tennessee, in the midst of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People are being saved and healed. I want you to remember a pastor friend of mine down in Eaton, Georgia, Billy Parker and his family, that God will just pour out revival there. To Lee and Kim and Crystal, I'll say hi. Of course, always to my spiritual father, Billy, who's always a lot of love. Also remember the churches in Las Vegas, Sean and Michelle Brooks at Family Worship Center and that congregation, Apostle Lee, as he's trying to lead, and we're having churches from Deliverance Fellowship coming from all over the world. Kind of went from being just a few of us to a lot of us suddenly. And just be praying that revival will break out right here in Phoenix, that'll just explode, and we'll begin to see a remnant revival as we head into some dark and evil days. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy. We thank you, God, that you hear us when we pray and that you know who we are. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll let revival continue to pour out on the remnant, that you'll continue to pour out revival in Sloan Lake, in Cleveland, in Eaton, all points in between there, Father. You'll let revival begin to pour out in Macomb West and begin to pour out in Las Vegas and then into here, and begin to let the people hear your voice so that we'll have souls ready for the kingdom before judgment is poured out upon this country. And Father, for all we know you're going to do in and through this broadcast today, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I want to go back a long way for a song, just because I like it and I get to sing it. It's an old hymn that says, I never shall forget the day. Long years ago, without its sin, I had no hope, no peace within. Now on my knees, in agony, I prayed to Jesus and he gladly set me free. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul go away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now at his dear feet. Just humbly bow, confess to him your every sin. He'll say, cleanse you, give you peace and joy within. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul roll away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul roll away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout, for he's everything to me. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. And I hope that's you this morning. And what God has done in your life, you will never, ever, ever, never, never forget that day. If you have a Bible, we want you to go to two places. I want you to go to Judges chapter 2, verse 10, and the book of Psalm, chapter 78. Judges 2 and Psalm 78. Judges 2 reads this way. All that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. And then you go back to Psalm 78, and we're going to break this down, but Asaph, who was a psalmist, is trying to remind a rebellious people of the faithfulness of God. It says that he, listen, O my people, verses 1 through 4, listen, O my people, to my instruction, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done to his people. Now, first of all, Asa says we need to teach each succeeding generation three things. One, that the praises of the Lord, that God is worthy of all praise, all adoration, all worship belongs to God. Secondly, we need to let them know about God's power and greatness and God's strength. He is a God who can. And thirdly, how he has worked on the behalf of his people throughout history. What we have done today in the church is we've stopped teaching the word. In 1960, a preacher came on the scene by the name of Reverend Ike. And Reverend Ike was probably one of the first of what we would call the prosperity gospel preachers. That serving God is not about the kingdom of God, it's about getting all you can. And it became to fruition in the 80s. It's still going strong today in the thousands. And yet, according to the Barna Group, more and more and more of our children are not going to church, are not involved in worship in any way, and many of them no longer believe that the Bible is the only source of truth, and that there's many ways to get to God, and you can just be a good person and go to heaven. And they picked this up because we stopped preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, if you preach another gospel, tell the one that I delivered unto you, let them be accursed. We have so many today that tiptoe through the tulips that don't want to preach the pure word of God. We want to talk about social justice and critical race theory. We want to talk about this and that. When we were always told to preach the gospel of the kingdom, the good news that you would be delivered from death to life, to preach the good news that you could be delivered, to preach the good news that you have a hope in heaven. We've stopped in praise and worship, making God the center of our worship, and now it's about us. I'll never forget what God did for me and how he's working in my life and how I've had to learn through some hard and bitter experiences that the life walk of faith involves a leaving, a living, and a looking. You got to leave where you were, live where you are, look where you're going. All. You leave a life of sin, you live as a foreigner and a stranger for the kingdom of God, dwelling in his power, his grace, his glory, as a disciple of Christ, as an ambassador of the kingdom, all the while looking for the moment we get to come home. So notice in verse 5 through 8 here in Psalms, for he established a testimony in Jacob. Now, I mean, the word testimony there is the same word that he gave oracles. He gave a written word. And appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that generation to come might know even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Now listen to what he's saying. Listen to what he's saying. He goes, God wrote it down. God is not a God that says, I'm not going to tell you. He made sure that we got everything written down. Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. You need both. And you begin to see a God who is consistent on one thing, loyalty. I've said before, I'm going to make sure I quote myself correctly. There are three things God can and won't do. God can't lie, God can't change, and God cannot be in second place. So he wrote down for all of us to know he is the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the ruler of everything. And he does that, and he did that, so that we would know in whose kingdom we're working for. He said, look, the father, first generation, is going to teach the sons of the children, second generation. And that second generation is going to teach the third generation. That third generation will teach the fourth generation. The fifth generation is going to be taught by the fourth. Five generations are mentioned. The fathers, their children, the generation to come, and their children to their children. The idea being, you would teach them this word, instill the Logos into their heart, so it would become the Rhema when they needed it. We talked about that last week. Yet, what we've done, what we are doing, is we are teaching another gospel. We're being a rebellious people. We're allowing the world to tell the church what the church believes. We're allowing the world to dictate our actions. You know, I used to always wonder how you would get an entire nation who knew the word of God to accept the mark of the beast. And as I've watched the mask mandates play out and this COVID-19 situation play out, I now understand that because we have a generation now, just like mentioned in Judges, who do not know God nor the works of God's hands, what they have seen is they've now made the government their God, their worship. And they're now giving their fealty, their loyalty to the government, including the church. When the church was told no more singing, we shut up. We were told that you can't have prayer and Bible reading in schools. We quit having prayer and Bible reading at the house. The church is not the building that you sit in. The church is not playing a finite game where we're playing the infinite game where we are changing the lives of people to become members of the kingdom of God. Yet, we are happy with our four and no more. Let's go shut the door. The psalmist here, Asaph, is saying we've got to teach this. The fathers need to teach it to the children to the grandchildren, to the grandchildren, to the great-grandchildren, all the way out to five generations. Because you need that almost like a bungee cord. We quote the scripture, raise a child in the way they will go, the way they're bent, and when they are old, they won't depart from that. But yet we're seeing a generation of children that are now thinking, well, I don't even know what gender I am. I'm just going to flake through life. Now we have a generation that doesn't believe in work because the government will take care of me. The great global reset that is coming, deny all you want, will say you'll own nothing and be happier for it. Because we stopped teaching the word and started teaching another gospel. So what happens? Verses 9 through 11 talks about what happens when you have that generation come to fruition. Listen. The sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. They forgot his deeds and his muscles that he had shown them, or his miracles that he had shown them. This tribe were expert archers. They were given all the weapons Ephesians 5, that they needed to do battle, yet in the day of battle, they backslid. You know, some people will quit on God before the battle. Some will quit on God in the middle of the battle. Some will quit on God because the battle's too long. And some will quit on God just because they don't see a reason to keep fighting. He says here that they did not keep the covenant of God. Ephesians 5, and many of you, as soon as I said Ephesians 5, you thought about the full armor of God. Well, let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 5. As he's talking about the armor of God, I'm sorry, Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, having it all to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. All that's to help you to be stable in the battle. In addition, I'll take up the shield of faith, which you are able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, to protect your whole body, the helmet of salvation, protect your thought life. And then we have our long-range artillery with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. He's given us every weapon we need to fight, and yet the church, in the middle of this battle, tucked its tail between its legs and ran. And the churches that tried to stand against it were attacked by the other churches because we start trying to quote, well, we need to go along and get along. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in 1930s Germany, warned the German people of Adolf Hitler. He warned them that the church could not go down the path they were going of complicity and compliance to a government he knew was racist and evil. Yet they did. And now, for all practical purposes, there is no church or Christian influence in the land of Germany. Mostly Europe is kind of decayed. Why? Because the moment you get in bed with the world, you unplug yourself from Christianity. You unplug yourself from the power source. Verses 12 and 16, Asaph reminds him of the Exodus, how God parted the waters, led them by cloud by day and fire by night, that they were never left alone. Yet in 17 through 20, they get in and they start asking, Can God give us a table in the wilderness? Can God give us what we want? And they sort of focusing not on what God was providing, but what they wanted. Which is what we've seen happen today. We've stopped at letting God provide and start telling God what we want. I don't want a car. I want a BMW. I want a Tesla. And we start going through, I don't want just a house. I want a 15,000. And we go through all this mess, and God's saying, let me be the one to lead you and guide you. Abraham, who what we would call in the sports world the GOAT, the greatest of all time as far as a walk of faith, left his home, everything he knew, went to a land where he was a foreigner and a stranger while he waited on the promise of an heir, Isaac, while still following God. We get so comfortable in the world that we become no heavenly good. So as you begin to notice that they continue to rebel, they continue, and eventually that ends up in judgment for them. You say, all right, Dr. Andrew, where are we going with this? I believe that if the remnant church, and you're going to hear me keep saying the remnant church, not those that just go to church, not those that just walk in the building, not those who just say, I'm going to pay my tithes and offerings, but those who are truly members of the kingdom of God. You're ready to go. You've given it all. America, the world, is hurtling toward judgment. If you are a believer in Christ and you believe this word is true, you need to tell everybody you know that Jesus is coming soon. And that there's going to arise an evil so bad, so potent, that thousands upon thousands will lose your life for refusal to take his mark, for declaring open loyalty and rebellion to God's kingdom. All that we're seeing now with mask mandates and this COVID-19 is a warm-up. It's a practice run for how far you can get people to go to follow what the government tells you with no explanation. We'll make up a crisis. You know what? Your money keeps being stolen. We don't know who is legal. And, you know, ID cards can be manufactured, so we're going to put a mark. Now, I don't know what that mark's going to look like. Is it going to be a tattoo? Is it going to be a chip? I don't know. Don't intend to be here long enough to find out. And I'm warning the church right now. Escapist theology. I do not believe. Now, I believe that we'll be pulled out before that we see the full impact of how the tribulation is going to play itself out. But what I do believe, that we are going to see the world get darker and darker and more evil and more evil, and the church is going to be challenged in ways she's never been challenged before. To the point that nations that we have evangelized, China, the Middle East, are now asking questions of preachers over here, what's happened to the church? These folks that are, they have to be secret agent Christians, and they get together and they worship and they praise God and they see mighty miracles, are looking at the Laodicean church sitting over here on our laurels saying, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And Jesus is trying to tell us all we're blind, we're naked, and we're ignorant, and we're poor. And he's standing outside the church, knocking on the door, trying to get into his church. And yet, we'll build bigger buildings. I saw a commercial for a church yesterday that wasn't talking about their ministries. It was talking about they had a climbing wall. They had a cornhole thing out in the front. They had a coffee shop. Paul said, I would know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All of the work that we need has been done in Christ on the cross through His death, burial, resurrection, ascension. And if all of that happened just right to the plan of God, then you know the rest of this book is going to play out. I'm begging you, church. We all need to be like Daniel, praying for our country, praying for our fellow man. You understand that when you read the book of Daniel, that Daniel was in a wicked place. But there were others of the house of Judah that went into captivity with Daniel and his three companions. But you read nothing of them because many of them just complied. Just gave up. Paul says in Galatians, don't be weary in well-doing. Because if you don't faint, you will reap a harvest in due season. Pray for your family. Give them the word. Let them know that you know who Jesus is. And I truly, truly, truly believe if the only souls we save are those in our own households, we've done a good thing. If you get your children saved and truly in the kingdom of God, they'll communicate that to their children, who will grow up and communicate that to their children. I don't know how long it will be before Christ comes back. It could be today. It could be 10 years from now. It could be 100 years from now. I don't believe that. I truly believe that looking at the season and the times of the signs, that we're close. But I'm urging all of you today, it is time to gird up our loins, put on our armor, and fight. Father God, we thank you so much for your love and mercy. We thank you, God, that you hear us when we pray, that you know us by our name, and that, Father, you're in the midst of every storm, reminding us that you are the King of Kings, and that your Son, Jesus Christ, is coming back very soon for his bride that will attend the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Father, if there's anyone who's hearing this or watching this today that does not know you, Let today be the day they find you in the free pardon of sin and walk in the newness of life with you. And we will give you all praise and all glory and all honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for joining me today. Again, my name is Dr. Eric Stansbury, and I am the senior, pastor of this little online conclave. Join us here every week at 8:45 Mountain Time. Now that will, when you guys start falling back and springing forward, my time doesn't change. So the times of my video may move at different times. But join us, share the podcast, subscribe to my podcast at both Apple iTunes and Google Play. Also, my YouTube channel, as long as I'm allowed to be on there, I will be. I'm hoping to get my schedule straightened out enough where I can begin the teaching series on a fresh look at Revelation, removing fear from that book, and making you excited about studying again. So until next week, this is Dr. Stansbury saying have a great week. Be blessed. Go with God and go with you in grace and peace be multiplied. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansbury. Feel free to email Pastor Stansbury at pastorstansbury@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.